Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto Home Life Business. RV, boat, motorcycle, whatever it may be. You always go with the best in the business. That's Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And they will do everything they can to save you money. Yesterday, for Penn State, look, not a good game. Did not play well defensively. Cannot give up 26 points in the opening 10 minutes of the game. That is a 104-point pace when a team scores 26 points in 10 minutes. Simple as that. Now you're fighting from behind. You're playing uphill. But you know what the odd part is? Even when it was 53-50, I still didn't get the sense that they could complete it. I just didn't get that sense sitting there. You've got to play better defensively, and you need to have a fourth score. They've got to find a fourth score. No question about that. Defensively, you've got to be better than that. Can't let Nebraska shoot over 50%. Now, it's not like they never have. It is the eighth time this season Nebraska shot 50% or better. So it's not like it's foreign territory for them. But they played well at home. This team was it was discussed over and over again about the backdoor cut and the ability, especially of Tominaga, to cut and the quick cuts he made. It was emphasized over and over. They've got to execute this stuff. And then they do need a fourth score. The big three yesterday for Penn State did their deal. Pickett did his deal. Funkett did his deal. And Lundy really did his deal. He had 24 yesterday. They hit 14 threes. It's not like Penn State didn't hit threes yesterday. They hit 14 of them. And there's got to be a way, somehow, some way, to get this team to the foul line. You're telling me that in the first 30 minutes, Nebraska committed three fouls? Now, I understand Penn State shooting threes, so you're not going to get fouls out there, but you're telling me Pickett's not fouled? I mean, come on. And that thoroughly absurd where Tominaga lets go of the ball, catches it, and they say it was deflected. We're all looking at each other. They're like, deflected? Because they went to a timeout after that? Deflected? We're all of us, Kevin Kugler, Jess Settles, Dick, myself, we're all looking, because it happened right in front of us. Like, what are you? It's a travel. Like, and then he hits the shot. There are two keys to officiating. Number one, call what you see. Don't guess. Number two, take care of the little things. It sounds simple. I know we're probably going to have Peter King on later in the week. I know in the officials Peter's talked to over the years, I know that one of the points of emphasis has been a call, you know, has been take care of the little things. I always emphasize, yeah, take care of the little things, but also call what you see, not what you think you see. Okay, you can't guess. If you're not sure, you don't call it. Well, yeah, for him to call that, I'm sure of myself. You hit like you missed by 4 feet. Okay, there's nobody within 4 feet of him. He just lost the ball. And all of us stand like sitting there, like looking at each other, like, what? Holy mackerel. Now, that's not the reason Penn State lost. It goes back to what I talked about in the open. You can't give up 26 points in 10 minutes. You've got to be an exponentially better defensive team than that. And number two, you've got to take care of what the scouting report tells you, which means they're not just a three-point shooting team. They are a team that will backdoor cut and use their center as a passer and facilitator. And Walker, by the way, had 7 assists in the game. Did a heck of a job. And number 3, they need a fourth scorer. Somehow Miles Dredd or Cam Winter, they have to break out of where they are right now. They have to break out of it. So they got Wisconsin coming up on Wednesday. Two teams that really it is the season for them. I mean, in terms of what they want to do. In terms of what they want to do, it's the season. So, and that's for both teams. Wisconsin's 13-9, Penn State's 14-9. They're both 5-7. Somebody has got to do something. Ernie Accorsi today, Michael Barkan and Neil Coulong tomorrow, Peter King on Wednesday, Ray Dittinger on Thursday. Okay? That's the lineup. Tonight is Super Bowl media night. There will be no news.
No, if senor! Is, no, senor! No, senor!
If there's any news tonight, I'll be shocked. How about that? I mean, no news comes out of this. I mean, you get sound bites, which is great. All right, and you need sound bites. There's no question about that. There'll be people that will be putting together the packages on TV this week based on what they get tonight. So that's perfectly understandable. But in terms of, like, news, are you going to find out something? You're not going to find out anything. I mean, there's certain things that we already know going into this game. For example, the ability of the Eagles to get pressure with 4 is remarkable. You realize that the 77 sacks they have produced this season, 57 have been off on a 4-man rush.
That is correct.
You didn't even know that. Okay, until I said it. Come on. Don't lie to people. All right. Did you know that?
That exact stat? No. But no. It's not surprising.
Okay. Number 2, the ability to get pressure on Hurts. Guess who is, you're going to be shocked by this, the 6th worst quarterback in the league when blitzed?
No, it's Jalen. I know that.
It's Jalen Hurts.
Oh, yeah.
Question is whether you can somehow make it pay off. And Steve Spagnuolo does have a reputation for, especially in the second halves of games, we're dialing it up. So that's going to be important going into a game like this. All right. We're going to get to the suit's favorite topic. What's the suit's favorite topic? Besides himself. I love talking about me. Oh, and I got a beauty for you. You're going to love this.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm talking, this is in a good way.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, in a good way. And just a couple quick notes. Penn State men's volleyball beat second-ranked UCLA. Big win. Penn State's ranked 4th. And how about the Penn State women's hockey team? They won the Collegiate Hockey America Championship, regular season championship, for the first time ever. So congrats to them. That is great. And I'm driving in from the airport last night, and I see the scoreboard all lit up, and it's showing the women's hockey team, which is great. Jalen Pickett, by the way, named top 10 candidate for the Bob Cousy Point Guard of the Year Award. Okay. So, and tomorrow, James Franklin's going to meet with the media, which he does every year at this time. This is not unusual. Every year at this time, he does a press conference that game. Well, after that second signing period heading into, and today was the first winter workout day where the coaches were there. Coaches are allowed to be there at certain times. And the coaches were on hand for the first time today. Yes. Yes. Yeah, James, 12:30 tomorrow. All right, good. Cool. So there you go. That's the open. No, the suit's favorite topic, and I mean this facetiously. He hates when we talk about money on the show because it takes away from the aura of the of what sports is to him, which is, by the way, to many. It's not like it's unusual. It is not unusual. Okay? People, they, you know, now, with more people gambling, they're thinking more about money. But the Penn State financials are out. We will give you a review in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Okay, so here we go. So you put expenses versus revenue, and this is for the fiscal year that ended June 30th, so Sandy Barber's last day. You remember Pat Kraft officially took over July 1, so this is not for this past season. It's not for this winter. This is for 21-22 fiscal year ended June 30th, 2022. So, Matt Football, how much money do you think it made?
Just throw
a number out there.
I am going to say $600 to $700 million.
No. 48 million.
Okay.
105.6 on revenue, 57.6 when it comes to expenses. $48 million on the plus side. The number two sport in making money, men's basketball, ended up on the plus side at $2.7 million. There was only one sport that was also in the plus side, but essentially it broke even. Men's ice hockey was on the plus side by $30,000. So that essentially is breaking even. Everybody else, oh boy. Women's ice hockey down $1.1 million. Men's lacrosse down $900,000. Women's volleyball down $1.7 million. Women's basketball down $3.7 million. And wrestling. I mean, you know wrestling has some losses. I mean, we've tried to point that out. I don't think people see it. So I'll let you guess on that one. I mean, they, you know, with all the sellouts and everything, it's hard for people to wrap their arms around it. Down $1.2 million. I mean, people are always shocked by that, but there's a lot of factors that go into it. I mean, for example, I mean, I'm going through just the numbers. You know, I mean, do you realize what they get for the NCAA tournament? $45,000. Like, okay. We also know that in looking at it, the 9.9 scholarships, the 9.9 is doled out over 17 individuals. So if you're wondering how many wrestlers are actually on some sort of scholarship, whether it's a quarter or a tenth or whatever, it's 17. But wrestling lost a little bit more than $1.2 million. Now, you're not expected to make money in wrestling. You're not. It's as simple as that. You're expected to go out, have the best coach in the country, have the best coaching staff in the country, have the best program in the country, and win the national title. That's what they're expected to do. It is not a moneymaker. And I know it's hard for people to wrap their arms around it, but they don't have the advantage. They don't have a radio network that pays a rights fee. They don't have, people are, what about TV? You're on TV five times. I mean, that's it. It's not. So, was yesterday's Indiana match on TV? And I'm talking about TV. I don't mean streaming. Yesterday's Indiana dual meet's not on TV, which is actually more often than not actually what happens. It's just the circumstances they're in. It is not a commentary about it. So that's how, and we'll see how it breaks down next year. I mean, you had two Jordan Center dual meets instead of one. All right, that'll certainly help out in terms of what the number is. But the program is still going to lose money next year. But that's not the point. The point is, I'm just telling you, so you sit there and that you understand the value of why do you invest in programs that even though, okay, football, you invest in it because, look, they got to carry the load. Men's basketball, you invest in it because at least it's a supplemental. Right? Then you invest in other programs by using the proceeds from primarily football to do that, and secondary men's basketball, which can help out a little bit. That's what it comes down to, business. People don't understand. Sports is a business at this level. Pat Kraft is sitting there. He wants to win, win, win. But at the same time, there are bottom lines he needs to protect. Now, the numbers are going to get better for football and men's basketball moving forward for the simple reason the TV contract slowly but surely is going to kick in to, and again, we've pointed this out many times. The television contract between the Big Ten, Fox, NBC, CBS, and the like is a backloaded contract. I'll give you an example. Next year on CBS, CBS cannot carry 16 Big Ten games. They can only carry 8 because they still have the contract with the SEC. So they're going to split between the SEC and the Big Ten next year in 23. Then in 24, they can kick in and carry a full schedule. Plus, you'll all have USC and UCLA integrated in 24. So there'll be a slow start to this contract, or a slower start to the contract, and then it really kicks into high gear in the later years of the contract. It really kicks in. And then there's an average that's between all these years that obviously is very high. Okay? But that's how it works. And I know, I think that the two numbers that surprise everybody more than anything are always the women's volleyball loss, because they see big crowds in Rec Hall on Fridays and Saturdays, right? And then the wrestling one floors everybody. They cannot believe that wrestling loses money because they see all the sellouts. And I don't blame you for that, because that's what you see. But there's so much more you don't see that goes into running it, the travel of it, the budgets, things like that, that go into it. And so in the end, they have revenue that totals $2.1 million and expenses that total almost $3.4 million. So you end up with a $1.2 million loss.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, RV, doesn't matter. You bundle They'll do everything they can to save you money, critical anytime, especially during these times, and to make sure you're fully insured, critical not only in this time, but anytime. And they're the pros and terrific people to work with. It is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. 8439. What is 8439, Matt Catrillo?
The cheapest Super Bowl ticket?
No. That is the number of points that LeBron James scored in his first four NBA seasons. Why is that significant? Because the man he is surpassing to be the NBA's all-time leading scorer was not allowed to play in those four seasons. Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, had to stay in college all 4 years and could not leave after high school. At Power Memorial, he had to go to college. And guess what? His first year at UCLA, he had to sit out. You know, he only played in freshman games. Freshmen weren't eligible. Played 3 years at UCLA. What was UCLA's record in the 3 years that Kareem was there?
I'm pretty sure it was less than five losses.
88-2.
Yeah.
88-2. It's something that I don't know that people will bring up, but should bring up. It doesn't take away from the greatness of one. It doesn't do that. But it lends perspective of what the extra 4 years means. I mean, that is what the perspective of what that means. Those extra 4 years got him the 8,439 points from ages 18 to 22 that Kareem could not get. It's something that is interesting. I do not expect it to be discussed in any way, shape, or form. Because they don't want to do a single thing that will detract from what LeBron is about to do. And this does not detract in any way from what LeBron was going to do. Okay? Because to be at his age, 39, to be playing at this particular time in the shape he is in and all that work he does when nobody is watching. To make sure that he keeps going. But it should not be lost. Just like when we talk about Pete Maravich, we always talk about two things. Pete Maravich did not score any points officially as a freshman, because freshmen were not eligible. And two, we didn't have a three-point line. And somebody sat down and they tracked all the games he played, literally watched all the tapes. I don't know how they did that, but they did. They say he would have had over 6,000 college points with a three-point line. That I don't know. I'm just going by what somebody said that they, you know, somebody, they did a story about it. Remarkable. 88 and 2 at UCLA. 88 and 2. And of course, one of them was the famous game with Houston in the Astrodome, where the University of Houston won the game. And of course, they came back and they played in the semifinals that year. The national semifinal. You want to know what the final was? 101-69. I think UCLA did just fine in their, quote, bounce back game. But again, those 4 years, he was not allowed to go to the NBA. The rules were not open to do that. Just something that is just an aside. Something I don't think that will be brought up. This will be all hailed as the greatest record in the history of whatever and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I got it. Yeah, that's great. But man, Kareem was something else. No. Something else. You also weren't allowed to dunk during Kareem's time. Did you know that?
No, that I did not know.
Oh, that's why Julius Erving, when he got to the ABA, dunked left and right. He was not allowed to dunk at UMass. That was the rule. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy.
And why wasn't that allowed?
It wasn't allowed, I think, in part because of Kareem.
Oh.
Yeah. No dunk. Really? So here's this guy skyhooking left and right. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Crazy. Crazy times, my man. There's so many things that have happened over the years that you're like, really? Let's see. So it was at 68 they lost to Houston. What was that game in the Astrodome? The game in the Astrodome was 71-69. 52,600 there. And, yep, 101-69. Got that right. Terrific. I think they lost. The only other game they lost, I think, was the Dayton. Let's see. Is that the 66-67 team that lost? Ranked number one, blah, 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 blah. No, they won every game. Let's see. Let's just see. Let's go 1968-69 UCLA basketball. UCLA. Just having a little fun here on the show. I mean, I know you wanted to talk all about the Eagles and the whole thing. What is there to say?
No, I am genuinely curious about this.
Let me see here. Yeah, 29-1. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, they lost to USC. Ooh. Lost to USC 46-44.
Wow.
Really? In the final game of the season. Is there a backstory to this? 68-69. Final four. UCLA beat Drake, 83-82. Lou L. Cinder, 7-2, senior New York Power Memorial High School, blah, 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 blah. Assistant coach is Denny Crum, who coached UCLA the two titles, and Gary Cunningham. Not a bad staff. They play USC in back-to-back games. And you know what? USC played them great in both games. The game that UCLA won the game in double overtime, 61-55. Then they played again the next day at Pauley, and USC won 46-44. Really? So you lost two games at 88-2. 88-2. It snapped their home court winning streak of 85 straight games. How about that? Then they won the national title over John Wooden's alma mater, Purdue. 92-72. Well, back then, they only had to play four games. Oh, jeez. Yeah. There you go. But again, 8,439. Those are the additional points at the front end from ages 18 to 22 that Kareem never had a chance to get. Just thought we'd throw it out there, just out of interest. Okay, now, I know you don't subscribe to The Athletic, although there's a terrific story by Andy Staples on Jaden Rashada's terminated $13.85 million NIL deal. He ended up at Arizona State. Fascinating article on that. But they did a great story today. And it was Matt Gelb that did the story on Scott Fransky.
I didn't read it, but I saw him tweet this out. Yeah. This seems pretty cool.
Oh, it was really cool. It was really cool. Let's see. Let me find it here. It was, it's all about the call he made on Bryce Harper's home run. And it was just, and like everything Scott does, it's great. You look, you've got to be in the moment. So as heard on Eagle 107, this was the call. Of course, we get the strike.
Two balls, two strikes to Bryce Harper. Suarez delivers. Swing and a drive. Left field. It's deep. It's going.
Yes.
And it is gone.
Yes. Yes.
It is bedlam at the bank as Bryce Harper has put the Phillies on top.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, his 10th career home run in the postseason. And he may never hit a bigger one.
Wow. Wow.
4-3 Phillies in the bottom of the eighth inning.
It's crazy. Crazy.
How cool is that, huh? So I guess what I think his kids made him something that's a bedlam at the bank, something like that. It was just a really cool deal. He had a chance years ago, according to the story, to leave to take a TV job. And one of the primary reasons he did not take it, according to the story, as much as he weighed the offer, is that local TV announcers, guess what they don't get to do? Local TV announcers don't get to do the playoffs. Radio announcers do. And he decided he wanted to stay because he wanted the ability to call every game. And because of that, I mean, it was a long time coming to get back to the playoffs. A long time coming, obviously. Okay? But when he got there, he made a count, including the spike heard around South Philly.
Two on, one out. And the pitch. Swung! And the Phillies are going to lead it! 4-0! A three-run home run for Reese Hoskins! His first postseason home run! And he's sprinting around third base! What a moment here at Citizens Bank Park!
Wow!
You feel like we've been privileged to watch the golden era of Philadelphia sports unfold in front of us the last few months.
No question.
I mean, Philadelphia, look, and you know, let's be honest. It is not, I mean, this has not been a championship-filled city. It's just not. I mean, Villanova's the only one that's really provided anything consistent with two national titles. I mean, the Flyers haven't been a factor for a long time. The Sixers have, you know, have not been able to get out of the second round forever. The Eagles finally, you know, they won the Super Bowl. Then they, you know, like most teams, they fall back. They got back in the playoffs last year. They got blown out this year. They've been the best team in the NFL. And the Phillies took a long time for them to get back to the playoffs. Right? And now, all of a sudden, in the last 6 months, we have seen a golden era unfold in front of us with the most exciting moments we've ever seen in Philadelphia sports play out in front of us. Which is just great. It's great for the city. It's great for the fans. You know, and as Scott admits, and you know, anybody that's in our business, like somebody said to me, "Oh, your call on the Singleton touchdown in the Rose Bowl was, you know, right?" You know, I'm like, "Yeah," I said, "no offense, but Nick did all the hard work." I said, "I liked it was tell the story of it." I said, "He did all the work." Well, it's the same thing with this. You know, Scott would be the first to tell you, Harper did all the hard work and he just had the thrill of calling it, but he did it right. So he did it right.
You know, when you think about it, the last time Philly sports had something like this was 1980 when the Phillies won the World Series, the Eagles went to their first Super Bowl and lost to Oakland, and the Sixers, I think, were in the NBA title or in the NBA finals that year.
Yeah, they lost to Kareem.
Yes, that's right.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yep.
One of the greatest winners of all time. Of course, that was the one where Kareem had the migraine and couldn't play Game 6, and Magic Johnson played center in that game. You still couldn't even beat him with one of the top guys out. And you still couldn't do it at home. At home. Couldn't get it done at home.
At least in that case, they won 3 years later.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out of the lineup.
I know.
And they took the point guard and made him the center, and you lost. How do you do that?
I know.
How?
Well, luckily for that team, they won at least in 83 a few years later.
They did. And that was a great team. Bobby Jones,
yeah.
Andrew Tony, Mo Cheeks, Julius, the doctor, Irving, Moses Malone. Yeah. That 83 Sixers team was something special. They were great. Yeah. That was the last time through, though. You weren't born.
Yeah, no. Not even thought of yet.
You weren't even a consideration.
Nope.
On that team. No. But what a... that. I mean, they were legitimately a great team. Legitimately a great team. So. And believe me, I mean, to win it, I mean, they were so good. You know, remember, the Celtics are really good at this time, right? Celtics are really good. The Celtics played 683 basketball. We got the standings here in front of me. Okay? And we're nine games back Sixers played 793 basketball that year and lost one playoff game. How about that? By the way, Tom Brady is going to start his Fox career in 2024, not this upcoming season. And to be honest with you, that takes a lot of pressure off Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olsen this week. They don't have to sit there and talk about Brady and him starting his career next season. They don't have to talk about it. It really does take a lot of pressure off them. Because, I mean, the guys that do the TV do have to face the media at some point during the week, too. It's usually later in the week. And they can just say all the nice things about Brady on board, the whole thing. Brady says he wants to take a year and understand how the whole thing works. I don't blame him. So that's what makes, Jack called me this morning and a couple things we talked about this morning that had nothing to do with the broadcast, just a couple of other things. But, like, guys, what Jack and what Dick Girardi, what they do, I mean, to me, I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. They're the difference makers on the broadcast. They're the people you really want to hear because their perspective is so good and so different than other people. And they do it within relatively confined spaces. They're remarkable in that way. And I think Brady, I think, understands that, look, you know, this job is not as easy as people think it is. I think a lot of people think they can analyze a game. You can't do it within the, you know, most people can't do it within the confines. There are people that are professionals that do this. And I lucked out. I got the two best. I mean, the two best who are so good at it. Like I said, they're the ones that people want to listen to in the broadcast. And I think Brady understands that guys, the best, have to understand how it works. And so he's going to do that. He's not going to do anything in the 23 season. I know you think he's going to play, but I don't. All right. Next half hour, Ernie Accorsi on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.